bye week over for a lot of Upper Cumberland teams Friday night. Some others taking the nights off, including undefeated Livingston, undefeated Monterey. Some thrilling games across our region in the last 48 hours. We'll detail it all on the High School Playbook, filled by Mountain Barn Builders. Glad you're with us on a gorgeous Saturday morning, getting out and getting some stuff done in the yard or running errands. We're going to talk high school sports for the next 60 minutes here on Rock 93.7, including a live visit from the DeKalb County Tigers, who will join us at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive to talk about their home win last night. We'll also talk some Cookeville High football before we're done, go to Stone Memorial and see how the Battle of Crossville turned out last night. Let's don't keep you in suspense. Let's get to the scoreboard from Friday night's high school football action around the Upper Cumberland. Upperman gets the win in dominant fashion last night, defeating Grundy County by a final of 42-0. The second consecutive shutout for the Bees. Ty Just Duchess, 261 yards on the night, four touchdowns, a total of 10 carries. Cookeville improves to 4-4, holding off Siegel late, 35-28 the final score. The Cavaliers rushed it 36 times for 288 yards and five touchdowns on the night. Quarterback Stockton Owen was 3 of 5 for 9 yards, 13 carries, 79 yards. Big night for Cameron Harris, four touchdowns, 153 yards on the ground. Cookeville also with two blocked field goals in that game. DeKalb County improves to 5-4 as they beat Macon County 26-13. Tigers stay undefeated at home this season. Tough night for York as the Indians of Sequatchie County score a 34-7 win over the Dragons. It was a good night for Dalton Barger back in the lineup after missing several weeks because of injuries. 10 carries, 57 yards, and the lone touchdown for the Dragons. Sequatchie County outgained York by 155 yards in that game. Back to Thursday night as Clay County and White County got the football weekend started early. Warriors take a 21-18 win over the Bulldogs. Jake Ashlock, 14 of 26 for 171 yards and two touchdowns through the air. He also added 49 yards rushing and a score on the ground. Will Ogletree, 9 catches, 127 yards and a score. For White County, it was a great night for their quarterback, Cedric Lefwich, 6 of 11, 87 yards. He also had 15 carries, 87 yards and a touchdown for the victorious Warriors. Watertown beats Jackson County 42-8, the final score. Watertown outgains the Blue Devils 347-85 on the night. Stone Memorial last night beats Cumberland County by a final of 49-6. The Panthers improved to 2-6 thanks to their running game. Bryant Carter, 12 of 15 passing, 158 yards and one touchdown. He also scored three touchdowns on the ground, 10 carries, 69 yards for Bryant Carter. It was Cannon County defeating Smith County 51-14. Fayetteville downs Gordonsville. Final there was 30-17. Let's talk some Cookeville High School football as we bring in head coach Jimmy Maynard. The Cavaliers with a win over Siegel. This is a Siegel team that was winless on the season coming into this game. But, coach, like it's been a couple of times during the course of the last several weeks, really testing the coach's heart, huh?
No doubt, Larry. These last couple of games have been tough on the old man. But, you know, our kids have found a way to hang on and win, and that's, I guess, the most important thing.
What's the storyline that kind of stands out to you about the game against Siegel?
Well, you know, I knew going in, Siegel's got some players. Siegel's has got some talent on their football team. I don't know, you know, they've been kind of their own worst enemy at times with turnovers and mistakes and you know, in last night's game, they didn't do that. They threw the ball well. Their quarterback, we knew he's a 3-year starter, and our MVP was Blaine Espinosa from a year ago of our league, and so we knew he was good. And he just, you know, we were able to score and get out in front. We had a 3-touchdown lead and with about 10 minutes left in the game. And they're a team that you know, we worked all week on onside kicks because they do that a lot, whether it's, you know, doesn't matter what part of the game it's in. And they were able to score. They scored in about 2 minutes after we took a 3-touchdown lead, and they scored, and then the offside kicked it, and it hit one of our kids, and they got the ball back and was able to score again. And, you know, made it a 1-touchdown game, and then they got the ball back with, I don't know, there was about 3 minutes or something to go in the game, and we were able to make them turn it over on downs and secure the win. But it was a hard-fought game. The momentum had switched for us, and we were really in control of the game until the onside kick just kind of changed things around and got them back in the ball game. The momentum kind of swung to their favor at that time. But just a hard-fought football game. They're a tough team to defend, and we had a hard time. You know, they had a lot of yards, and they threw the ball like 60-something times, which is a lot of times in a football game.
It's interesting because
I threw it 43 times, I believe, is what they threw.
It's interesting because at the pro and college level, I mean, the onside kick has just it's almost totally out of the game because of the way they're trying to protect player safety and blocking and all of those kinds of things. And so, you know, you almost forget that it's a weapon anymore.
We worked all week because they've done this, for the past several years that we've played them. We always have to kind of have a special hands team type return in because they kick it everywhere. You never know if they're going to kick it deep or if they're going to kick an onside. And when I say an onside, they kick the ball very hard and hit one of our front line guys. You know, we worked all week on if they kick it hard at you, get out of the way and let the second line recover the ball or let it go out of bounds. And we made a mistake, and did not do that. And the ball ricocheted off. And when that happens, it's a crapshoot. It's anybody's ball. And that's kind of what happened to us. But, you know, we were able to recover from it and still hang on to win.
Cameron Harris did some nice things for you in the first half.
You know, Cameron, the week before when we played Warren County, he came up big for us in that game. We started, playing him a lot at tailback. He'd been our fullback and wasn't getting that many carries. Of course, Cameron plays defensive tackle for us, which is kind of an odd combination, but he really came up big for us. Had some good runs. He's got a good feel for the inside run game, and I think he had 4 touchdowns and about 153 yards rushing on 18 carries. So that was a big night for Cameron. Cameron's a bigger back. He gives us a little more push in there when we get him in the lineup, and just it's nice to see Cameron have a good game like that because we definitely needed to be able to run the football and control some time off the clock.
Yeah, you're just 12 yards shy of 300 on the night. Offensive line continuing to build momentum?
They are. We're doing a good job with our assignments. We're getting hats on people, and I think that's the most important thing. I wish we'd get a little more push at times and be a little more aggressive and finish blocks, but we are, and we'll get to that. We're young up there, so I know that we've got some improvements to make. But the most important thing is we've got big bodies, and we're getting hats on people and giving our running backs a chance to be able to find some yardage, and that's what you want to do for sure.
Jimmy Maynard coaches the Cookeville Cavaliers. They get the win over Siegel, 35-28. How proud are you of your defense in the situation where the momentum has changed and they're able to stand up and make that stand late in the fourth quarter?
Well, that was, and we had a tough time. I mean, defensively, we give up a lot of yardage. But yardage don't beat you. You got to keep them out of the end zone. And we were able to block two field goals with him in the game. Early on, they drove the ball down the first possession. We blocked the field goal. And right before the half, they had it down again, and we blocked another field goal. So those two plays turned up big for us. Even with our special teams, we were able to get a punt return got it down to about inside the 20, gave us a short field. But very proud that our defense could get that stop and secure the game for us, where we could just get in a victory set, win the football game.
Finally, could you sense not only in the football game Friday night, but also in practice this week, that the bye week was helpful and rejuvenated your team?
I think no doubt, Larry. We came back full pads on Monday, which is not typical, but since we had a week off, we came back in full pads, and we practiced in the morning since we're out of school. And I think, you know, the weather was cooperative, too. It wasn't 98 degrees out there. It was, you know, nice football weather. And but our kids, they actually had a lot of energy, and I thought we had a really probably the best practice week we've had all year as far as in preparation and enthusiasm and attention to detail. I thought our practice went well this past week, for sure.
Congratulations on the win. Still a lot of football to be played over these next couple of weeks.
Well, you know, that was a big game for us. I think we haven't talked about the playoff scenario at all, trying to, you know, because we just, you know, we want to try to get better each week and just let it come out and play out how it should. But I think last night's win probably secured us at least a, you know, we're probably playing, you know, we're going to go into that last week playing for probably a number three spot, possible number three spot in the seeding for the playoffs, which is big for us. And, you know, it's a tough league to try to get in but hopefully we've won, you know, enough football games now that I think we'll three wins, and I think that secured us at least a spot somewhere in the playoff scenario.
Cookeville coach Jimmy Maynard, Siegel and Cookeville last night. Game belongs to the Cavaliers, though Siegel makes it close at the end. Coach, thanks for being on the High School Playbook this day.
Hey, thank you, Larry.
Welcome back to Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. It's where we talk high school football every Saturday morning. The High School Playbook, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Glad to have the Tigers from DeKalb County with us this morning. DeKalb beats Macon 26-13. They improved to 5-4 on the season, but maybe even better than that, head coach Steve Trapp, undefeated at home.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we've definitely had a home field advantage this year. It's just we played really well. We've also played some really good football teams on the road as well. But one thing we can hang our hat on is that we played good football at home.
You, of your four losses, three of the teams are in the top 10. Fans think about that. The media thinks about that. Do coaches think about that?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, we've got some really good football teams on our schedule. And the one thing about those games that I don't like is we didn't compete very well. You know, we tell our guys all the time that no matter who it is that you're playing against, when you got a helmet on, there's a certain way that we want things done. And but our guys have hung in there. You know, we've talked about mental toughness a lot this year, and we weathered the storm of those defeats. And the last couple of weeks, they've responded very well and had some really good nitty-gritty football games.
Offensively, pleased with how you played last night?
Yeah, I mean, we were able to make some big plays. They did some things a little different on some of the formations we were wanting to use. So we kind of had those mid-game, hey, we're axing that, going to this, and it worked out pretty good. So, you know, up front, Dino at the quarterback position and the receivers, they got the job done last night.
You were also late in that ball game really able to wear out your opponent, which is, when you get to October, that's what you want to be able to do.
It was huge. I mean, we went up on them right there, and then, you know, four-minute offense, everybody has that. Want to eat some clock. You know, we're down to our third-string running back, and he did a great job for us last night. And we actually, you know, handed it to him, I think, four times in a row, and that fourth carry was a 30-yard touchdown, and actually scored a little quicker than I wanted to, but he was very confident last night, ran the ball very hard when his number was called, and just really proud of him and how all the guys have responded that had to step up.
Most people know the two-minute offense, but maybe some people don't understand the term four-minute offense. What are you talking about?
Well, it's just the point of a game where you're up. It's not taking your foot off the pedal by no means, but you want to snap the ball as late as you can, you know, eat that play clock, and just eat some clock, limit their opportunities to get the ball back with the time. You know, like I said, so it's one of those where you want to use the clock, you want to move the ball, you want to get first downs, and we did a good job of that last night.
DeKalb County coach Steve Trapp is with us. What was the story of the game defensively?
Well, defensive was about adjustments. I mean, they come out right off the bat, and, you know, they're a wing T team, but they've gotten into where they shift a lot. They try to overload you a lot, get you outnumbered. And we were on it all week in practice, but they had a couple of new little wrinkles in there. So Kudos to the assistant coaches all night last night, especially on the defensive side. Made some adjustments at halftime, and it was really tough for them to move the ball after that.
What is the key to defending the wing T?
It's assignment football, and that's really everything. I mean, your eyes have to be right. You have to understand your responsibility, and then you have to execute and get the job done. You know, so first and foremost, if you know what you're supposed to do, but you do it opposite, it doesn't work out too well. So it's about discipline, responsibility, and then just playing extremely hard.
Coaches, it's a cliche, I guess, but you want to see yourself get better every week. Are you seeing that?
Well, definitely I can see us different than what we were 3 weeks ago. And, again, we have faced some really good opponents, but the biggest thing that I've liked about the past couple of weeks is it's been football games where you have to go execute. A few of the games that we've had at home, we pretty much knew the outcome pretty quickly. You know, we scored a lot of points. They wasn't. Some blowout wins. But these last two, like I said, last week we started off onside kick. They got it. Then we fumbled. They go up on us, but then we come back and take care of the game. You know, same thing last night with the wrinkles that they threw at us that we wasn't ready for, hadn't seen yet. They score first on us, blocked a punt, scored right before halftime to take the lead 13-6. So I just think it was big that our team come back out in the second half, calmed down, and just did what was expected out of them.
Coach, how important is it that you have a football smart team? That when teams throw something else at you, that you're able to adjust. You can adjust all day as coaches, but if they can't adjust and you can't spend that few minutes on the sidelines and say, do this instead of that, it means nothing.
It's huge. I mean, the old saying, you know, coaches coach, players play. You know, it's up to us to put them in position to be successful. But then they need to understand why we're having them do what they're doing. And then if a team is doing something else that we really didn't see or prepare for through the week, and we try to throw as much at them as we can, it helps the coaches out a lot. I mean, like you said, it's one thing for us to see it over there on the iPads and instant replay and stuff. It's another thing for those guys to take that, what we give them, or even fix it themselves. That you know, we've had some guys and got some guys this year that we're getting to the point now where, hey, coach, they're doing this. What about this? You know what I'm saying? So that's fun atmosphere right there. It's fun coaching that. Everybody's bought in that regard. So, again, it was a great job by the assistant coaches and the players last night making the adjustments that were needed.
That's got to be great for you as a coach when a guy comes from off the field and says, look, this is what was happening.
Exactly.
I think we should do this instead.
Well, I tell them all the time, my greatest joy as a coach ultimately is not scoring more points to the other team. It's watching those guys take the knowledge that the coaching staff has given them and then – in return, they are successful. So when they're buying in mentally like that and they can talk it back to you, it does make it a lot easier, and it makes me very happy.
Spending a Saturday morning with the DeKalb County Tigers here at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive, Rock 93.7's high school playbook. Who'd you bring along today?
Well, we brought our quarterback, Axel Idino, Jr. You know, he had three touchdown passes last night, did a good job for us. And then we brought Isaac Cross, our left tackle and starting defensive lineman as well.
So let's start with you, Isaac. How did you feel like that you were able to control the football game last night?
Well, mental toughness was a big, big part of the game. You know, we didn't start off as strong as we wanted to, but just like against Smith County and every other game, you know, that we've won, we've been able to just continue the strongest of the game into the next half.
Where does mental toughness come from? Because all football players talk, oh, we're mentally tough, we're a mentally tough team. Where do you think it comes from?
Well, it's practice. You know, you practice everything just rep after rep, and you know what you're doing. So you've got that confidence in yourself and, you know, mental toughness.
And kind of outside that, too, is being able to play fast. If you know what you're supposed to do, you can play fast, right?
Yes, sir, definitely. If you know, like you said, if you know what you're doing, you can go full speed the whole entire game, and, you know, you're not going to look back and think, why didn't I go hard? Because I knew exactly what to do.
Axel, does that same thing apply to quarterbacks? As you learn the offense more, are you able to go faster? Are you able to think less and just play the position?
Yes. Mainly it's you know it, you see it and get it, like Coach Trapp tells me all the time. Just before the snap goes, I look at the defense. I see the spot I'm supposed to be looking at and know what is about to attack that and just execute.
Can you see better, for in terms of a phrase? Can you stand up now after a couple of years playing and say, okay, I know what's about to happen?
Yes, sir, I can.
Yeah. How'd you play last night?
Well, I feel like I just played pretty good, all because of my team. Without them, I would have not been able to do what I did. And mainly them helping me out to playing better just made it.
Coach, he sounds like he's hard on himself. Is that a trait of quarterbacks, that they're tough on themselves?
Well, the biggest thing that we talk about in DeKalb County, it's about serving other people. And quarterbacks, you know, we've had some good ones over the years, and one of the greatest qualities that I'll tell everybody is, you know, and what I tell them up front when they become the starter or they're wanting to be a quarterback is, it is your job to serve those other 10 guys on that offense and make sure that you're doing your job right, not for the glory that you'll receive, but in order to help those other 10 and the whole team and the whole town receive glory as well.
Axel, is that something that maybe you realized when you first started playing quarterback, that, you know, I got to have the guys up front, they got to block. I got to have the wide receivers block. I got to have them run the right routes. It's not all about the quarterback, even though we make it all about the quarterback.
Yeah, really and truly, it's after they make a play, yeah, the credit goes to the quarterback. But in the end, it's just everybody doing the right stuff together. And mainly everybody should get the credit for it, not just one person.
But also when those bad things happen, you get the blame.
Yes, and it's
quarterback got that interception. Well, no, the guy ran the wrong route. Nope. It goes on your stat line, right?
Yeah, it does. But in the end, you got to just be able to embrace it and just continue on playing.
Isaac, how valuable is this bye week right now?
Well, you know, everybody is banged up after the game, but that's how it is every week. But this bye week will definitely help us recuperate and just get mentally prepared for the next game, you know, leading into the playoffs. And it'll be good for us.
Now, Coach told me that there was something on the line last night.
Yes, so there was. It was a home playoff game. Now that we've got that right there.
But before that, if you got a win.
Oh, well, last Thursday, Coach told us, he said, you know, if you want what you deserve, go out there and get it. So he told us that if we won last night, then we'd get the whole week of practice off. So, you know, that'll just give us even more time to recuperate and just get where we need to be.
Is that a motivator?
It definitely was. definitely was during the game. You know, one of the incentives, but
win was obviously
more important. Oh, yes, sir.
More important.
Yes, sir.
So, Axel, at this point in October, is this a team that can make some noise in the playoffs?
I really feel like we can. If we just come together and continue playing hard and not let the little stuff get to us, I believe we can shock some people.
To you, Coach, what do you need to do? Because the playoffs are different, right? The intensity is different, but it still comes down to execution.
Definitely, the intensity is the one thing that's different. And as coaches, that's something that from day one that we want them to have each and every time they – like I said, put a hammer on and walk out on that field. But playoffs does bring something different. But, you know, as a coach, it's, you know, and it still seems weird doing this for 15 years now. It doesn't seem like it. But and being through the playoffs quite a few years in a row, it's really comes down to can you maintain doing the things that you've been successful at through the year? And can you make sure that you fix any leaks? You know, is there anything that concerns you going into the play? And that's a week-to-week thing. I mean,
right,
not just a playoffs thing. But it is, you know, hopefully we're at a point to where we're playing some of our better football and, you know, some of our guys that's been limited throughout the year. I mean, you know, we still got a couple that's, you know, if they were there all year, would really help. You know, so maybe this off week and this bye week, and I just told the guys, I said, you know, come back, get away from football for a week. You know, I'm going to be in the woods a lot, you know. So, but I want them to come back refreshed, renewed, and I told them that spring scrimmage enthusiasm, the first game enthusiasm, that's what I'm expecting to see when these guys get back, so that we can, you know, we've not been off since August 2nd. So this is a good time for a bye week for us. But when we come back, we want to go for a few more Fridays in a row.
Yeah, play well into November, right?
Definitely.
Okay. DeKalb County 26, Macon County 13, the final last night. The DeKalb County Tigers go to 5-4. They'll enjoy a bye week as they take on Cumberland County next. Isaac Cross, quarterback Axel Aldino, head coach Steve Trapp. We always appreciate you coming to Chick-fil-A and being with us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Upperman Bees are with us at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. They get the win over Grundy County 42-0 last night. High school playbook is built by Mountain Barn Builders, head coach Adam Kane. Rafferty Cleary does Upperman games for us at ucsportsnation.com. He said in the 2 years he's been doing the games, he thought last night was maybe the most complete game that he has seen. How would you grade what you saw last night?
You know, coming off an off week, it definitely was a good performance for us. A lot of big plays, explosive plays offensively. And then, you know, we flew around the ball and hit people on defense. And even the special teams, you know, we kicked the ball well and covered kicks. And everybody was pretty energetic and played with a lot of passion last night.
Do you ever worry about what's coming after a bye?
You know, very much so. I spent a good bit of my coaching life as a college coach, and that was my first introduction to off weeks and bye weeks, and it was a mixed bag at that level. You never knew what you were going to get and how people were going to respond, and it's been the same. You know, getting back into the high school game, it's been the same. And last year we weren't real good coming off the bye week. But this week, this year, it hit at the right time. We were tired. We were, you know, kind of mentally beat down, and it hit. And you could tell when we came back last Sunday that we had a lot more energy. And anytime you've got the energy, you know, you take the coaching a little bit better. And I'm speaking about the players, but also as a coaching staff, you know, I guess I'm getting up there in age, but I needed a little bit of time off, and everybody seemed to respond well, and it showed Friday night.
It kind of renews that love of football thing, that why you started this back in August, which, you know, just the day in, day out, it kind of grinds down a little bit.
It did, and I think that Friday night when 5:30 rolls around and you're not getting padded up and getting ready to go out and do your warm up, it kind of strikes you that I kind of miss this a little bit. And another thing is, you know, a little bit of break in the weather. It wasn't 110 degrees for once, and that kind of energizes the guys as well.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it went straight to winter there. Put in perspective, two straight shutouts. How proud are you of that?
You know, I'm very proud, especially in this day and age where points are just, you know, people are not even batting an eyelash and putting 50 points on the board. You know, the offenses are spread games, getting the ball out in space, and you know, any matchup that favors another opponent, you know, can end up in 7 points. So, you know, we're starting to come together as a defense, and you know, we've put some pieces in that to start this year that we, you know, the guys that didn't play some last year, and they're starting to play good ball. And so I'm very encouraged about our defensive performance. We don't ever really talk about shutouts, or that's not necessarily a goal, you know, that we speak of. I think deep down we all want to get shutouts, but I will admit this, when we had the JV in, I was pulling for them to get a stop down there at the end so we could keep a zero on the scoreboard.
I understand. You strike me as a defensive guy, and is it hard for you? Is it weird for you to see kind of where football, and I mean the game overall, all levels, is going right now?
I'd have to definitely say yes about that. you know, I came up and played for a coach that was defense first. And, you know, anything that happened, it was always the defense started off. And I kind of do the same. And just sort of as a mental emphasis on the whole thing. And I do believe if you play good defense, you're going to give yourself a shot. You know, we emphasize playing physical and on both sides of the ball. And, you know, we're getting better offensively. We're not quite where we were with the weapons that we were last year, but we're starting to, you know, put some points up and have some explosive plays.
That's a part I think that is lost a little bit in all this talk about offense is the teams that are still dominant that could put up points, you still know you played them.
Yeah.
It's over. I mean, you think about the college game and those teams that are putting up 49 and 50. You're feeling like you played them when it's over.
Yeah.
Still physical.
You know, one of the interesting things about the college game is to watch Alabama. I mean, they're always on, so I watch them. But they're going through a transition where it's more of an offensive deal. And so I guess it's taking over the game a little bit.
Until it swings back the other way.
I hope that I'm able to stay defensive-oriented the whole time that I'm doing this, though.
Got the Bees at Chick-fil-A, Interstate Drive, talking some football. Bees get the win over Grundy County, 42-0 Friday night. Who'd you bring along?
I've got Caden Nash. He's a senior linebacker. I've got Jake Dutchess, senior defensive back. And I've got Nick Stacy, another senior linebacker.
So, Nick, let me start with you. What did you feel like was the story of last night's game defensively? How well did you play?
I just feel like that we had a great night as a unit. I mean, we had these guys out here stopping plays, just making good reads all night and getting it done.
Does good play on Friday night, does that start with your preparation during the week?
Oh, for sure. This man right here has gotten us ready for every game this year and last year, I think, as well. He's just made our team a much better unit as a whole.
Caden, preparation, how much of it is practice? How much of it is film study? How much of it is listening to the coach? All of that?
I think the first hour and a half is film, which is very important to, you know, the execution of a winner. I think probably the other 2 hours is practice. So it's pretty, you split up evenly. It's both very important for, you know, the game coming up on Friday. So
is it important for you to see things on film and to hear the coaches and then in practice to go out and work on it so that it's natural, that you're not having to think on
definitely.
Friday night?
Yes, yeah. Visually, you know, seeing that makes you, you know, it's much more aware on the field. So that will definitely, you know, help you with your success on Friday nights.
Jake, what stood out to you about the offensive performance Friday night?
The offensive performance Friday night was we were explosive, and we got the job done very quickly every time we had the ball. My little brother, 4 touchdowns on 10 carries. You know, he was putting in there. You can't say much else than they were clicking all night long. That we only got stopped. We only had to punt one time, I think, and that was off a drive that wasn't really like that important. So to say that the defense was complementing the offense, we were both getting it done, shutting it down, you know, and not having any extra kind of trouble with it, then, you know, it's easy at that point.
Your little brother is Ty.
Yes, yeah.
Did you guys grow up competing against each other in all sports?
Very much so. This is the first time we've ever played with each other on a team together. But it was always, like, at the house, we would have races. We would try and, like, you know, do different, like, chores faster than each other. It was always sort of a competition. And I was always, like, a little hard on him because I wanted him to be the best that he could. And I feel like he is coming into that light as a good player.
So can you put into words what it's like to be on the same team with him now and see that?
I never thought I would see it. But being on, like, a field with Ty out there, you know, you kind of look over and you're like, hey, that's my little brother out here, varsity with me on the field. In front of all our crowds, in front of my family. And it's just a good feeling that he's becoming such a good player at such a young age and making the plays he is.
And do you remind him after the game that I'm the one that got you to this point?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Of course, he kind of keeps me humble, too, with his how many touchdowns he has.
What, Coach? Mom is the loudest one in the stands. Well, that's
definitely good.
That's the way moms are supposed to be. All right, Caden, so for this team to keep building, it, I mean, this is all about winning every game, doing the progressing every week. Do you feel like you're on a good course as the playoffs now are where you can see them?
Oh, yes, sir, definitely. I feel like our offense has gotten much better from, you know, from the beginning of the season, which is definitely a big factor in football. So as long as we can keep that up and keep our defense on the same page as well, I think we'll do really well.
Nick, is there any sense of unfinished business from last year, or is this a whole different year and you don't worry about that?
I feel like it's a whole different year. We're just focused on getting back to the semifinal, final maybe, and just getting our jobs done as a unit, I guess.
Do you hear that a lot? Like you're out at the convenience store or getting food from Upperman fans saying, all right, we're gonna go a step further than last year?
Yes, a lot. And I try not to worry about that as an individual, and I hope our team doesn't do that either. But I just wish that our unit would focus on just this week. We're focused on Watertown this week. Let's focus on Sequatchie next week. You know, just get the job done week by week, and then we'll get there eventually.
Coach, you love the excitement and the passion of the fans, but is that something that's real for a football team? Because every team is different no matter where you finished last year.
Yeah, I'm not going to shy away from this. I believe we all felt it a little bit. The expectations, you know, I probably, you know, fed into that a little bit because I did see a great deal of potential in these guys. And, you know, I know people like to talk about what we lost last year, and we lost some good players, but I knew this group of seniors had a certain toughness about them and a certain eagerness, and I felt like that I was going to be able to push them a little bit harder. And that's certainly been the case. But anytime things don't go quite as easily as maybe they did the year before, you know, most of our games last year were blowouts. And, you know, there's been some games this year where things don't come quite as easy. And sometimes people start to press and feel that a little bit, you know. And I think we're just now, again, that bye week came at a good time, energized us, and that was crucial in the last two ball games. We've really played good football, so hopefully we're past all that, you know. And now's the time of year, and these guys know it because they were all big parts of that run last year. It's going to start coming quick.
Yep.
And you know, we got to get ourselves in a good routine and you know, get ready to play and put our, you know, best performance every Friday night. And I think we're up to it. And I think we care about each other, and we want to go, you know, make some noise this year.
Adam Kane's Upperman Bees beat Grundy County 42-0 last night. Move on as Watertown is up next for the Bees. Caden Nash, Nick Stacy, Jake Dutchess, thank you guys for coming. Coach, always good to see you.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
The high school playbook rolls on, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Scoreboard from Friday night from UCSportsNation.com. Cookeville defeats Siegel 35-28. Sequatchie County 34, York 7. DeKalb County beats Macon County 26-13. Stone Memorial wins over Cumberland County 49-6. Thursday winners, White County and Watertown over Jackson County. Let's go to Crossville, where the battle of Cumberland County played out last night. It goes Stone Memorial's way, and head coach Derek Samber joins us now on the high school playbook. Coach, in these rivalry games, there's so much intensity, so much emotion. You never know how they're going to go, but your guys seemed to set the tone last night.
Yeah, Larry, I was really proud of our kids' effort and intensity. Yeah, it is a rivalry game. It means a lot to a lot of people in the county, a lot of people in the community, and our kids came out from the opening kickoff and took care of business.
It looks like offensively you kind of set the tone running the football. Is that what you went in wanting to do?
Yeah, Larry, I think that's probably always going to be our identity. And we've got some playmakers on the outside, some kids that did some good things. But got a senior running back, Zach Street. He's been hurt most of the season. Really haven't been able to showcase him or feed him the football like we would like. But we're coming off the bye week. He's healthier than he's been all year. And so we were finally able to get the football to him and let him go.
You obviously would love to have him all season, but that ability to come in with some fresh legs here as the season winds down, that is one of those positions where it can really make a difference.
Yeah, it really is. And, heck, Larry, I think he's started maybe in his third or fourth start of the year. And we've probably started four or five different guys at that running back spot. So they've probably all got fresh legs. Nick Cope is a kid that's a junior that nearly had 100 yards last night. Couple touchdowns for him as well. So we do have some fresh legs back there. The bye week came at a good time, and we've really not leaned on that one kid to carry it 25 times every night. So should have a lot of fresh legs back there and hopefully continue to run the football well.
Obviously, with only 6 points scored and a defensive performance that you had to like, who stood out to you?
Well, Larry, defense, Coach Dryden, our defense coordinator, does a tremendous job. And, you know, there were a ton of kids. It was certainly a group effort. Everybody flew to the football. And you mentioned rivalry game, Larry. Our kids had heard all week that if Cumberland County was ever going to beat us, this was going to be the year. And we're not very good this year, and Cumberland County's probably better than us and whatever else. And at halftime, we had 35 points, and they hadn't scored, and they had negative 27 yards of offense. So, big performance from our defense. Gavin Scarborough had a couple sacks. Gary Burkhammer, he's a junior. He's our free safety, had a couple interceptions. Andre Flores had an interception. Really, our entire defensive front played really, really well and played with a lot of intensity.
Stone Memorial Coach Derek Sammer with us. The thing that you see, Coach, is even though it hasn't gone the way you wanted it to go this year, things have been difficult. There have been challenges. To come out with this kind of performance, your guys are still in the moment. They are still playing the game at the way you want them to play.
Well, Larry, our kids, they've done all the right things. They've practiced really, really hard. We've pushed them. We ask a lot of our kids. We work hard to practice. And they've risen to that challenge. It just hadn't gone our way on Friday night. And I know going into Friday night, I think our opponents had a combined winning percentage of 75%. So we've seen really, really good football teams. And we'd kind of like to brag on our quarterback, Bryant Carter. He's a sophomore. A lot of criticism. He's been coached tough. He's had some tough nights and seen some really good defenses. But last night he had a really, really good night. He's continued to stay in that moment. You know, talk about responding to adversity. He threw an interception last night, and it's one of those things where it's easy to hang your head or whatever, but he's the first kid, ran down the field, made a big hit, and made the tackle on that. So, yeah, you know, like you said, things haven't necessarily gone our way. Not maybe been the season we hoped for, but our kids are doing everything we've asked them to do, and they're doing it the right way. And so, yeah, last night to get to enjoy and get to celebrate together on a Friday night was really, really special.
What did you see in those faces?
Derek Sammer, head coach of the Stone Memorial Panthers, 49-6, the win over Cumberland County. York falls to Sequatchie County, 34-7, Friday night. Kind of an interesting game in Dunlap as the high school playbook continues. Presented by Mountain Barn Builders, the head coach of the York Dragons, not able to coach last night because of an injury in his family. His wife was at the hospital, and so not able to coach. And so the Dragons had to go it without their head man. Vic Wheaton was the person, long time in the program in Jamestown. He stepped in, but unfortunately the Dragons just couldn't find the answers.
We shot ourselves in the foot a lot. We missed a lot of opportunities. Defensively, we had a lot of mental mistakes. We gave up big plays, and when you do things like that, it's the results usually are not very good.
And it was really both, all three phases really, that kind of bit you in the backside.
Right. We let them take the opening drive, opening kickoff, and drove it the length of the field, and took about 7 minutes off the clock in the first quarter and scored. And then we came back and answered a couple drives later and scored and kicked PAT and went ahead 7-6. And then we gave up a big pass play to them, and they took the lead again. And then it kind of just went from bad to worse from there. We had a lot of
good news. Is that Derwin Wright, head coach of the York Dragons, his wife is doing fine and is out of the hospital, and we wish them the best. But interesting for that football team to have to play last night without their head coach. Shows you what team is all about, right? And the next guy steps up. That's what they teach every day, and that's what happened last night in the coaching ranks for the York Dragons. Coming up this week across high school football, the big one is Clay County and Monterey. That could be for the championship, and a lot on the line as that game will be played on the mountain. Cookeville takes on Rockville. Cumberland County hosts Bledsoe County. Livingston will be at York. Pickett County is at Red Boiling Springs. Stone Memorial takes on Smith Friday night. Upperman and Watertown face off. Warren County is at Riverdale. White County takes on Macon County. We're back next Saturday to talk about it on the High School Playbook.